Improving Society in less than 30 minutes. The short podcast of Körber Stiftung. Everyone speaks about the climate change and its consequences these days. Well, not everyone. In fact, there are many areas in our lives where it seems to be of minor importance. What about universities, for example? What role does the climate change and sustainability in general play in higher education? We commissioned a study to find that out. Tristan McGowan is Professor of International Education at the University College London and conducted the study with fellow researchers from around the globe. Welcome to Improving Society with Tristan McGowan. Moin.
It's great to be here with you.
Thank you for being here with me. So today we're going to talk a bit about climate change, but in a certain direction, the climate change and universities in a connection. In general, the climate change has gained an increased amount of public attention. So I really wonder, because in the public discourse, we're not really talking about universities, what would be the role of universities in this issue?
It's a really important question. Universities have had a central role in climate change debates over recent decades in terms of the initial research that showed the increasing temperatures and some of the causes. Mm-hmm. But research isn't the only way in which universities contribute to addressing the climate crisis. Obviously, universities are educational institutions. They train professionals. They educate an increasing proportion of young people and older people in society. And it's generally accepted that in addressing the climate crisis, we need to have a population who is aware of the issues, understands the causes of climate change, what they need to change in their own lives, and collectively make a difference through political processes. So there's the research function, there's the educational function. But universities also have a crucial role in working with communities, in adapting to the effects of climate change, in engaging publicly. And let's not forget, they are campuses, they are institutions, they're almost mini cities in their own rights. So they have to get their own house in order. They are emitting, unfortunately, you know, greenhouse gases like most institutions. And so they need to also to think about transforming their own campuses. So there's a whole range of ways in which universities are part of this issue.
Just like as in cities, universities obviously have a lot of topics to deal with, and sustainability and the climate change are obviously not the most important to many of them. What can we do to change that? Or are there any good and best practice examples who are already dealing very well with the situation?
Certainly universities have a range of concerns, and not least of which is their own survival. So in recent decades, particularly in Anglophone countries, there's been a move towards reduction of budgets for universities, which means that they spend a lot of time thinking about how to generate income, getting more students, other kinds of contracts. So universities clearly have a range of competing concerns. But what we found through our research and through my experience generally is that most universities take this issue extremely seriously already, both in terms of institutional leadership, but also in terms of the people working in them, and just as importantly, their students. So students do have this as a very high on their list of priorities. And so in many ways, it's not a question of universities having to persuade everybody that this is an important issue. Their communities already believe in it. It's a question of nurturing that belief, helping to align these priorities, and allowing people to innovate and to develop bottom-up initiatives. And we've got many great examples of that.
And to make these topics more of a priority for most universities, we have decided to make it the topic at the Global University Leaders Council. And we obviously always conduct a study coming along with it, and you've been the one leading it. So tell me a bit about the background of this study, of the report this year.
So we were really delighted to be able to work on this report entitled Universities Facing Climate Change and Sustainability, to work together with the Council on what we believe is the most critical issue facing the world. Clearly, we're in a pandemic situation, so we need to think about the interlinkages between climate change and COVID. But climate change will be there for many years to come, and it's essential that universities address it. So the report was a collaboration between a number of academics and researchers and practitioners in different countries. In addition to myself, Luciana Brandley and Walter Leal, who were the co-editors, and the other authors, Amanda Salvia, Golda Edwin, Nandivarma Mutu, Rudy Pretorius, Valeria Vargas, Judy Newman, and Jing Liu. So we had that fairly large team because in addition to the general aspects of the report, we did in-depth case studies of seven countries. And the different team members brought that specialist knowledge. And from that, we developed the general analysis.
And that obviously is something I would like to know a bit more about. So starting with Brazil, if we look at the Bolsonaro government, let's say it's, to say the least, having its problems with the Paris Agreement. What do you think? What effects do international frameworks have on the activities of universities? And what are they, for example, in Brazil, able to do?
So universities are linked in very complex ways at all levels, at the global level, national level, local levels. And sometimes those different levels are giving a helping hand and other times they're hindering. I think it's pretty uncontroversial to say that the national government in Brazil is hindering rather than helping the cause of addressing climate change at the moment, and the higher education sector. So there have been many problems in Brazil. The universities have had a very difficult time, and particularly the promotion of sustainability initiatives have not received support. But universities have a fair degree of autonomy, which means that they're still able to carry out, you know, many of the things that they are committed to, even in opposition to the national government. And that was certainly the case of the universities that we looked at in depth in our report, which were the University of São Paulo and University of the South of Santa Catarina, both of which are fantastic examples of what can be achieved in the public and private sectors in relation to promoting teaching and research and community engagement in relation to sustainability.
So that shows that some universities are particularly committed. But then on the other hand, the consequences of the climate change are hardly discussed among, for example, the Japanese. And then there is little willingness to change their way of life. So I wonder, how can universities like in Japan have an impact on the broader society, and where are the limits to change this particular way of life?
So Japan does have some quite extensive policy in relation to sustainability and climate change. In certain areas of sustainable development, Japan is really a world leader if you think about disaster responses and so forth. But of course, there are obstacles in universities, as there are in most countries. One of the obstacles identified through the research that we did for this report was the difficulty of coordinating across a university. So what was found in some cases was that there were pockets of the university that were developing fantastic practice in relation to climate change, sustainability, but it was hard to integrate that with what was happening in other parts of the institution in quite isolated and siloed ways, and to develop an aligned strategy for the whole university. And certainly the evidence shows from other cases that kind of alignment is really important. Not that everybody needs to be singing from exactly the same hymn sheet. I think the nature of a university is that it's always going to be a little bit higgledy-piggledy, a little bit unruly, and maybe that's part of its creativity. So it's never going to be completely aligned, but I think there are some ways in which looking for positive synergies and coordinating to some degree is an important aspect.
Yeah, and facilitating the discourse is something that we also would like to do. But then on the other hand, we always have the spread of fake news. What can we do to prevent that?
This is a really serious issue, and it comes in different guises. I mean, you know, there are some concerted efforts to spread mistruths. I mean, there are think tanks that have very strong agendas in denying climate change. Some of them are backed by fossil fuel companies that have a lot to lose from the kinds of changes that need to be made. You know, there are also perhaps more organic processes of conspiracy, spreading of conspiracy theories, particularly amongst far-right groups. And these different processes that have been enhanced by in changes in technology, growth of social media, allow for very rapid spread of unreliable information and very misleading information, that, as well as attacks on climate scientists and environmental organizations. So it's an extremely difficult situation. And for young people, in fact, for all people, it's becoming hard to navigate the information that we receive. through different sources. It's hard to know what to trust, what not to trust. So I think universities have a very important role in this regard in terms of defending, you know, the inclusion of questions of sustainability and climate change in their curricula and in their activities, and also, you know, disseminating reliable information to the public, but also to work with their students in reflecting on sources of information, on reliability, in having that discussion around where we get on, or how we build our knowledge and beliefs with them to develop this reflexivity that all of us need in our everyday lives.
Isn't that a task that universities have anyways?
Absolutely, yes. And this is nothing new. Maybe the way it's being focused is a little bit new because the debates around climate change are a few decades old. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, there would have been other kinds of fake news 100 years ago, and probably in 100 years from now, it will be a different question. But universities will still be doing similar kinds of things.
Would you say that there's a difference between private and state-funded universities when it comes to this course?
It's a really interesting question, that. What we found in our own studies, and as part of this report, we actually included case studies of 14 universities. So it's just a small number if you think of the huge number of institutions around the world. But we found from the cases that we looked at, there were excellent examples in both private and public sectors. But that doesn't mean that all institutions have the same conditions for working. I think it's still really important to have public funding for universities in order to ensure research that's in the public interest, community engagement, and so forth, and in addition to accessibility for students. But private universities, if they have the right conditions, are in an excellent position. It's usually private universities that are well established, that either have an endowment or are comfortable financially, those private institutions can dedicate their own resources and in many cases have been very successful in research terms, but also in creating an environment in which students can learn very effectively in relation to sustainability. Private universities in some systems have an advantage in that they can be more nimble, they can change more quickly, they can be more adaptable. Depending on the national system, public universities can encounter more obstacles of a bureaucratic nature, regulation nature, that can make it a little bit harder for them to adjust year on year. So there are some advantages that private universities have. But unfortunately, the majority of private universities in the world, and we are seeing a huge expansion of the private sector globally, particularly in certain countries. So Brazil, which you mentioned before, is a case in point, a very rapidly expanding for-profit sector of higher education. So that's not only being private, but actually having an explicitly commercial orientation. Those universities essentially are not able to contribute to the sustainability agenda. Mm. They are effectively meeting their own costs on a relatively low budget, trying to generate a profit for their owners, and they simply don't have the resources or the mission to adequately address the challenges of climate change and sustainability.
Now, you are located in the UK, more precisely at the University College London. Mm. I mean, your work is more focused on Latin America, but what would you say in the UK, how does it feel for you? How's the topic and the issues addressed?
I think that universities have made great strides in recent years. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to change universities that have had, in some cases, centuries of existence, some cases rather newer. And it's also a great challenge in what is effectively a marketized system. So universities in the UK have a slightly unusual existence. It's hard to say that they're either private or public. They're in a kind of a liminal space, something of a hybrid. But they are inserted in a fairly marketized system, which means that they're constantly worrying about their student recruitment, their income generation and so forth, which can make life difficult. But the good news is that some universities have managed to turn that commercial orientation and actually use it as a lever for developing sustainability activities. So some universities have actually found that it's good for marketing to do well on the sustainability agenda, because actually young people believe in these things.
Right.
And a lot of people would like to go to a university that is environmentally friendly and that is active in this area. I'm not suggesting that it's only self-interest. Of course, the people who run universities and the people who work in them, many of them believe strongly in these issues as well and would like to see their institutions doing well in this regard. And I think there is a way to go still, but I think it's been quite heartening what we've seen. My own institution, UCL, has a director of sustainability, a range of initiatives related to the sustainable development goals, and is really trying to transform its work in relation to carbon neutrality. Many universities are looking at their investments, if they're lucky enough to have an endowment that they do invest. And it's true of the United States as well. There have been a number of movements to remove investments from fossil fuel companies. So there are a range of ways in which universities are slowly aligning themselves with these sustainability agendas.
Most certainly. I mean, a lot of things are going well, but especially, you've mentioned it, young people, so activists like the Fridays for Future movement, they are going to the streets, they do something. You've just mentioned a position within the university that has been formed, but it's not really featured in the curricula of most universities. What can we do about that?
Well, there are different positions on this. Some people argue that we need a universal compulsory module for everybody to do. Not everyone agrees with that.
Right.
Some people feel that if you made it compulsory, some people would resent it. They would, you know, they might not take it seriously. So there are different views on this. I think, you know, a balanced approach would be to say that there should be the possibility for all students at university to both take some dedicated, a module or some kind of provision in the curriculum that relates to sustainability and climate change, but that additionally, it should be incorporated into every course. So I think this is really the important thing, in that, you know, questions of climate and sustainability, they have some natural places where they would be discussed, whether that's in, you know, environmental science or chemistry or geography. But really, they need to be dealt with across the whole of the curriculum. Whatever course people are doing, there are clear dimensions that are relevant. Because let's face it, you know, climate change has human causes, and those causes are deeply rooted in our societies and our way of life. So, of course, it is a question of economics courses, social sciences courses, literature courses, history. It's relevant to all of those things, and trying to understand what is it about our societies, what is it about our psychology that has caused this, and what do we need to do, and how do we overcome those obstacles?
As a graduated psychologist, I actually had environmental psychology on my agenda. But
interesting.
I wonder, because, you know, I'm sitting in Germany. Is there anything particularly about Germany that comes to your mind?
Well, I think, you know, Germany has lots of conditions that I think would be very favourable towards this kind of work. Obviously, a very well-developed university sector that does have public funding. So, you know, I think the higher education system in Germany has weathered the storm of marketization very well. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Germany isn't linked in at all to some of those global pressures. Of course it is. And German universities also feel the pressures of performing well in international rankings and so forth, and have financial issues. Of course, they do, like universities in all countries. But I think German universities are in a good position in terms of their research capacity and their resources to address these issues. And I'm not by any means a specialist in German society, but there are also strong currents that would support a green agenda that will also, you know, support this kind of transformation that's needed in universities.
Coming back to your recent GUC report, were there any findings that particularly surprised you?
Well, I think we were refreshingly pleased with the range of initiatives. I wouldn't say that was a total surprise, because we hoped that universities in the diverse countries that we were looking at would be active in this area. But I think we were very, very pleased to see the range of initiatives, so the different kinds of initiatives. Some aspects I think we could probably have predicted in terms of the key elements. So, for example, the crucial role of leadership, for example, the need for institutional coherence, addressing fragmentation, funding, and so forth. So some of those elements perhaps we would have predicted would be key to that transformation. Some of the interesting ones that I think were more surprising were the complex ways in which commercial agendas have interlinked. So I mentioned this earlier in our discussion. So how the way that some universities, despite feeling the grip and the pressure of having to generate income, have actually turned that into a way that wasn't a trade-off with sustainability. They were actually using some of these commercial motivations to actually enhance their sustainability work. So while it's still the case that public funding is the most reliable way of achieving this mission, there are creative ways in which universities can use different sources of funding. And perhaps another important finding is this one around the need for a diversified system. So it looks like the best way of addressing sustainability initiatives is to have a higher education system that has different kinds of institution that can run with different forms of agenda and mission. Large research-intensive universities, teaching-focused universities, all have a role to play. They will be working with these issues in different ways. Locally based institutions that are working with closely with their own communities in terms of their student bodies and in other ways. And also sustainability focus institutions, of which there was one that we looked at in Germany, Eberswalde. This is a really crucial aspect. And from our analysis there, we feel strongly that all countries need to develop one or a small number of sustainability focused institutions because they have a particular role to play within that coordinated system of higher education.
So you already started to deduce some of the main impulses you got or main inspirations you got from the findings, which would be my next question. Is there anything that you would recommend to policymakers or to the universities?
Well, we came up with a list of 12 recommendations. Perhaps I won't go through all of them now. And I think we've covered some of them.
Just the most important.
But, you know, some of the ones that I think are really crucial here. Thinking about climate change and sustainability in an interdisciplinary sense. So across all aspects, all parts of the curriculum, but also working beyond our regular disciplines. So this is a question that can be quite challenging for universities because the logic of the system is often very much one about being trained within a particular area, achieving one's promotion through expertise in an area. And it's not that there's no room for disciplinary research. Of course there is. And many of the breakthroughs in climate research have been of a disciplinary nature. But to address climate change, we also need to go beyond disciplines, work in a transdisciplinary way, both in terms of students and in terms of academic research. Another element that is important is engaging with green rankings. So while there are many critiques of international rankings, they're not going anywhere soon. Universities, you know, are addicted to them. The general society looks at them. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, for all their failings and the difficulties they have in actually gauging meaningful aspects of quality of universities, they're here to stay. So it seems to be a good way forward to, instead of putting one's head in the sand, to engage with alternative rankings. And we have a few examples. The Times Higher Education has its impact ranking that focuses on the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. There's also the Green Metric ranking, and there are the People and Planet League in the UK. So there are a variety of alternative rankings which are emerging, which are an important way of universities benchmarking their activities, but also trying to promote, you know, within internally to prioritize some of the important work that needs to take place in terms of transforming their campus and transforming their curriculum.
Tristan McGowan's latest book is Higher Education for and Beyond Sustainable Development Goals. He's currently leading a multi-country Global Challenges Research Fund project on universities and climate change. And today, he shared his insights from our report that will be discussed at the Digital Global University Leaders Council 2021. You yourself don't quite fall into the category of university leaders, but as you will be taking part at the GUC, What are you looking forward the most in terms of the event?
Yes, I think it's we are going to be launching our report, and I'll be presenting parts of it and engaging. And this is the most important thing, engaging with discussion, because what we need to do is we need to hear back from the leaders of universities. In some ways, it's quite easy to be in my position. I'm a professor. I'm a researcher. I don't need to manage an institution. What we need to hear is from people who have that responsibility. What do they see in this? What aspects of it are viable? What critiques and challenges might they have? And for us to debate that in full. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to most.
For more information about the GUC and to download the full report, visit guc-hamburg.de. Obviously, you'll find the link in the show notes as well. Thank you very much for being on the show, Tristan McGowan.
Thank you very much.